from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's, I'm here. I'm just here to keep you company and put you to sleep. I don't have anything funny or amazing to say. I guess you could take that as a guarantee for what's coming up. But I'll be here. I'm here to keep you company. And if you're new and you're saying, well, shouldn't you just get to the point? And I say, okay, well, this is a welcoming part where I try to make you feel welcome because I'm glad you're here. But you're right. What do you say? We get on with the show. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody as I misspeak. Thanks. All right. Hey, everybody, before we get to the sponsor stuff here, I just want to let you know that this show, Sleep With Me, and I'm glad so many of you are bringing this to my attention. It's about you, the listener, and creating a safe place where you can feel seen, respected, and safe. And that's built on a foundation of compassion and empathy, because I try to put myself and I say, well, geez, I wonder how that person's feeling. And I wonder what that experience is like. And when you're in that place, it becomes really important to talk about stuff. And right now, that means talking about the fact that support of the Black members of our community is important because Black lives matter. And when you hear me say those words, know that that comes from a place, the same place that kept this podcast going for 7 years, a place that's slowly growing, that wasn't always there inside me. And I'm learning every day. But really it's like trying to grow that empathy and compassion so I can send it out to you across the deep, dark night, so I can be there for you. And supporting the members of our community is a part of that. Also supporting and if you want to get started on that journey, there's links to organizations in the show notes. Or if you've been impacted, there's links to organizations. And then if you're having a tough time right now, in the world, 2020, there's links to organizations where you can get some extra help and that can direct you to resources if you're in need. And that's because I care about you. That's why I make this show. Yeah, that's it. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to bring this podcast for free. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping Movie Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple of questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up? The thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night, distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one brash part of the podcast. You could be a part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Just remember, when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow morning, you go to get your juice, your coffee, whatever it is, say, wait a second, I should go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors and check out the sponsors like Helix Sleep, who's been supporting the show the whole year. And Michaela got the Helix Dawn, which I'm so, I had to read about it because I said, wow, finally getting some good sleep. So if you're like Michaela, you support a sponsor, tag them, tag me in a social media post. That's really how you kind of raise your, whatever, amplify your support and let them know about it. Or if you're not on social media or something, send them an email, give them a call so they know you value their support of the podcast, that you heard their message. And I can try, let me know about it, and I can try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone like Michaela. Thank you, Michaela. That's the first part of Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is supporting you, getting the support you need. If you're having a tough time right now, there's links to resources in the show notes to organizations that connect you with help. So use those links. And then we're a part of supporting change as well. And so if you're looking to change internally and externally, to be a part of the solution, to support the Black members of our community right now, because Black lives matter, there's links to organizations to help set you on that journey right now. Or if you've been impacted, to help you heal. The third part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support. You know, I support Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she supported American Friends of Hand in Hand. And Hand in Hand is an organization that's building inclusion and equality between Arab and Jewish citizens of Israel through a growing network of bilingual integrated schools. And this was something that was important to RBG, so it's important to me. It's important to me to spread the word in her honor. So links to Hand in Hand and American Friends of Hand in Hand will be in the show notes. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are
Chris
they?
Chris Posty Posterson
sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song,
edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend
also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer
runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation, and Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. So they can commission a holiday song from you at song.jonathanmann.net. I'm at Dearest Scooter with a T on Twitter and Instagram. Dearest Scooter. Poor Dear Scooter. Oh, boy, because of my mispronunciations. And remember, if you listen to a podcast app, that's the easiest way to get the show. You just make sure you're subscribed. And then in your app settings, make sure smart speed or silence trimming is off and vocal boost is off, and you're set at 1x speed, because I've seen people bumping up the speed, and it's an accident, happens to all of us. Just get to know your podcast app a little bit better in the daytime and find those things, or use YouTube and type in the name of your podcast app. That way you can learn more about it, because there's so many great apps out there. That's it. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts you're thinking about, thoughts, feelings, physical sensations. So things on your mind from the past, present, or future, anything physically you're feeling or emotionally you're experiencing, or it could be many, many other things. Changes in time, temperature, work stuff, life stuff, unknown. You say, huh, that's, I don't know, I don't understand. Everything's like, that's the one that... I don't know. That one really gets me every time. I say, well, I thought I did everything right. But whatever it is, I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. What do you say? What are they called? Creaky, dulcet tones. Like a creaky... You know, here's something else that hasn't been glorified on this podcast. Or what do you call it? What does Hollywood do? Glamorize it, right? Here's another thing that just doesn't get the credit it deserves when it, like, actually, now that we're talking about it, there's a lot of different times this should get good credit. Hopefully I'll remember to come back to it, but creaky floors. Because I was just going to say, when you say creaky dulcet tones, creaky. Like a creaky floor, but dulcet. So it'd be like a creaky floor in your favorite, on your favorite floor or your favorite room or your favorite place to be. Like you'd say, well, you know that spot where we'd get our favorite summer treats? Oh boy, I can just remember. 4 steps into that old spot, I'd hear that creaking floor. And I'd feel that feeling because I was about to order my favorite summer treat. Not only nostalgia, because I do it in the present day, too. So that would be more of a creaky... That's my new collection of collectibles. Creaky dulcet moments. Or creaky moment. Yeah, creaky dulcet moments. The creaky dulcet moment collection. Now not available or probably won't ever be. Maybe that's what tonight's episode will be about, though. Yeah, let's do that. Creaky dulcet moments. Because that'll save me from having to figure it out right now. So creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, which we just went on one, superfluous tangents. So if you're new, really what I'm trying to do is create a safe place where that I can send to you, where you could feel like you could come and visit. Or we could share, or just you could use it. It's really like I'm sending it to you. That's the nice thing is you could do whatever you wish with it. This is an adaptable, safe place. And what I mean by that is, well, one form of adaptation is that this podcast does not work for everybody. So some people, they turn it off or they just say, well, this isn't necessarily helping. Or you might be arriving for the first, second, or third time, doubtful, skeptical, frowny, your expectations are not being met. And I want to say that that is a very legitimate reaction to this podcast, very normal. Because, like, that's what most people feel when they turn the show on. Of course you're skeptical. How many times have you been told something's going to help you fall asleep and it didn't necessarily help you fall asleep? Or doubtfully say, your creaky dulcet tones and your pointless blathering, I'm just using a strong word for now to make an example. You say, your pointless blathering supposed to put me to sleep or this nonsense? And I'd say, maybe, we'll see. So if you're feeling that way, that's normal. I want to point that out because most listeners, 90-something percent of people that listen to the show say, it took 2 or 3 tries before I realized the show was for me. So just kind of see how it goes. The podcast is best consumed in a very loose way. So if you're waiting for it to start making sense or start putting you to sleep, kind of pay a little bit less attention, or just, and I don't mean it like in an active way, like you just kind of tune me out. This is the one podcast you could multitask to. Ideally, you're multitasking by sleeping, but I'll get into how the intro works, because most stuff, you know, you want to be in the moment. And this actually is kind of to take your mind off of stuff so the rest of you can be in the moment, getting comfortable. Because I don't want to encourage you to multitask. I just want to encourage you to that you don't have to pay a lot of attention to me. So that's another thing. One, this podcast isn't for everybody. Two, it's a podcast you really don't need to listen to. You can just kind of barely listen. And three, this is a bit of out there too. This is a sleep podcast that doesn't really put you to sleep. It keeps you company while you drift off. But I'm more here as your bedtime companion, just talking, than I really am putting you to sleep. You're falling asleep and barely paying attention to me. And the other side of that is, if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here to the very end. Like, I'm here to keep you company whether you're awake or asleep. So if you can't sleep, you know, there's listeners that can't sleep. There's listeners that listen during the day. There's listeners that are going through something and they can't sleep. There's listeners, you know, I'm here. That's why the show's an hour. It's an hour, so you don't have to worry about when you're going to fall asleep, and you also don't have to worry if you can't sleep. You say, well, I got Scoots here for an hour. I got episode after episode after episode if I need it. So that's another part of it. Moving on to the next few things that can throw listeners off is the structure of the show. And this also goes back to the multitasking. Now, regular listeners, they know what I'm going to say. They just don't know the manner I'm going to say it, because I change that every time. But this show is structurally very different. It starts off with a greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary. And that ideally is to make you feel welcome and seen and invited in. You say, hey, check this out. I got a place set aside for you. But here's the irony. You go ahead and pick it out. Like, there's a place here for you, but you go ahead and pick it out. See what works for you. So that's a greeting. Then there's business, probably like 4 or 6 minutes of business or something like that. That's how we're bringing the podcast to you twice a week, is the people that take action on that. But that's more for regular listeners. If you're new, that's not important. Then we move into an intro, which is about 12 to 20 minutes of me explaining what the podcast is. And then those two things can really throw new listeners off, because they say, I think most of the time they say, what are you getting to the point? Are you just talking about the podcast, or is it all business? And I say, well, it's the business of going off topic. The intro. The bedtime story and the intro are kind of like you could separate them, but I'll get into the method. It is adaptable. You could start the show at 20 minutes, or you could become a patron and listen to story only episodes. But for the most part, this is what works in some different style for most listeners. So the intro is like 18 to 20 minutes, we'll say, and it's me kind of introducing the podcast to the new listener. But for the regular listener, they get to multitask while I'm doing the intro, because it eases you into bedtime, lets the day drift away. So for a regular listener, and you could discover what works for you, and you could keep changing it up. Some people are listening as they're getting ready for bed. Some people are doing it as they're getting comfortable and they're getting settled in, and some people are knitting or drawing or petting their pets or combing, you know, brushing their hair, maybe giving them, maybe they're getting massage, giving massage, foam rolling. Maybe you're making your bed, or, you know, like, I mean, this is something. And sometimes I don't pause to do this, but when I do a pillow reset, no, that's another one that's never come up on this. This is why I do these intros, because this stuff doesn't come up. I mean, this that I remember, I don't ever remember glorifying creaky floors before, which I'll do hopefully in this episode. And I also don't remember talking about pillow reset, which is a really important thing in my life, that so many times I'm in such a hurry to get into bed and toss and turn, I don't pause and do a pillow reset, which is one, getting my pillows back in my pillowcases, because whatever I'm doing to my pillows at night, other, you know, practice kissing and other things, you know, maybe when I'm asleep, I don't know, not when I'm awake. But they get out of their pillowcases, and also, you know, they kind of get de-poofed, and also I have two pairs of pillows that I have paired up, which I have talked about before. Mostly I get them in their pillowcases, but I have two softer pillows that are, they could go under my head. Now, this is, I know these aren't for everybody, but I have, so I have two feather pillows, and then I have two non-feather pillows that are a little bit firmer that I either will grip into my arm or put under my legs or put over my head, depending on my mood. And I like my pillow temperatures. Like, I like to be able to switch up between the two pairs. So I have like one feather pillow, one firmer pillow, one feather pillow, one firmer pillow. And that way, you know, I got my options. But what I fail to do a lot of times is just, I just get in bed instead of doing a pillow reset, and, you know, making it nice. I say, okay, I'm gonna get my pillows lined up here before I get in bed, get those pillowcases on. And I don't know why it seems so. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you probably could relate to this. Why then, if I do it before I get in bed, it's easy. But for some reason, I usually skip over it. But if I try to do it once I'm in bed, and even if the lights are on or out, it seems like such a monumental task. I'm like, well, I just got to live with it now. This pillow's halfway outside its pillowcase. I can't possibly put the emotional wherewithal together to deal with this tonight. And I might even, that's when the brain bots start. I might be like, geez, I wish I was the kind of person that really dialed it in before I got into bed, but now it's just too late. I'm stuck with this pillow that's sticking out, and man, isn't it, I mean, if you're listening to me, it's funny, but it's weird that it's true. You're like, just going to have to deal with this. I'm never going to get to sleep now that my pillow is like 1/8 out of its pillowcase. And I can't possibly, I don't know what it is. Like, this is really what it's like for me. I say, I can't possibly pause and sit up in bed and realign my pillows unless it's like so great. But I'll be doing it like it'd be like, I don't even know. Like, I would do it with such like vigor would be a strong, like, light version of the kind of feelings I'd be feeling if I actually did sit up and try to rearrange my pillows. It'd be like, I'd be so disappointed. I'd be like, I guess I just got to rearrange these pillows now. What an onerous thing to have to do. So, yeah, maybe tonight, maybe, but while you're listening to the intro, you could do a pillow reset, or maybe that's a reminder. You say, okay, that's great, Scoots, because I was just getting ready for bed. I was actually doing my slipper reset, where I had my spring slippers, my summer split slippers, which I call splippers, because I don't know, I like it. And you say, cool. So I forgot. Oh, that's why the intro's so long. To explain it a long way to the new listener. Why is the intro so long and pointless? Well, there you go. That's why, because I am who I am. So that's why the intro's so long. But it actually, so if you're multitasking, whether you're resetting your pillows or you're petting your pets, maybe you're bombing your elbows, maybe you're kissing your shoulders, whatever it is, you got time to ease into bedtime. So that's the intro. Then there's business between the intro and the episode. Then tonight it'll be some sort of random episode about creaky dulcet. Oh, I did the creaky dulcet door collection by Dior, but this is creaky dulcet moments. I guess it would have been at one of those stores that sells things like that. like where you'd buy, well, I wouldn't buy ornaments there because I'd say those ornaments are too expensive. Not collectibles though. I don't know. You know, kind of know what I'm talking about. A store that sells stuff with moments. A store with moments in the title. So that'll be the episode. Then there's some thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show and kind of the things to know coming into it. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. Glad to have you here. And then the other things to know is I make this show because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a safe place. And if I can provide that for you, it's my honor. And the reason it's my honor is because I've been there. Clearly, you just heard what I go through just with pillows. That's just a scratch in the surface. I mean, I don't even think I talked to my therapist about that. I mean, because probably my therapist would have said, well, I would have known that already. Thank you for informing me, but let's really talk, let's actually talk about it. Are you sure you're not just filling time now? Did you prepare that, Andrew, before you came in tonight? Just in case you didn't have it, you were not comfortable. And I see you got me. You really know me well. That's the therapist that lives within me, but I see. Did you practice that in the car on the drive over, just in case there was some dead air in here? And I'd say, yeah, I did. I did. I practiced it on a podcast intro too, months ago. So that actually gives me even more reassurance. I say, well, I'm going to get to use this intro twice, and maybe I'll prep my pillows more. But you deserve a good night's sleep, and I've been there tossing and turning. So I hope I can help. I mean, the only thing is, clearly this podcast doesn't work for everybody. I'm a bit different. So just see how it goes. See if it works for you. Give it a few tries because I work really hard. I yearn and I strive. I really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep this podcast coming out twice a week. Thanks.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, hey everybody, it's Scooter here, and tonight's episode will be a little bit different. I haven't done one of these episodes in a little while, and this will be a different version of that episode, at least in what I'm thinking ahead of time, I'm wondering. And this does take some setup, so I'll try to explain this for new listeners, why this is important, what's up with this? So this is an episode, a Carole King guide, where Carole King tries to help me, or I don't know if ether is the right word, the power of Carole King. And that's Carole with an E, not Carole, Carole, the songstress, the activist, the wonderful Carole King, subject of a musical, songwriter, singer, and so much more. Also, now this is presumptive, or only what I believe, but also either her positivity and power is so powerful, or she's a magic user, or she has some sort of other power. It could be science-based power, as we see, anything that, as we have trouble, you know what I mean, the explanation about science and magic. Also, I can't say anything concisely, Carole King has powers beyond my understanding that impact me in a positive way. So that's one thing. And you say, okay, Scoots, so can you repeat that just so we have a baseline? So Carole King has powers beyond my understanding that have a positive impact on my life. When I remember to use the powers that she presents me. And you say, okay, so explain it to me more, or what is the power and how does it manifest? Oh, great question. Great word, by the way. How does it manifest and what is the power? So once upon a time, before, I think a lot of you were in existence, but not everybody. So we have smartphones, right? And we're on whatever the 10th generation of smartphones. I don't know if that means we've had smartphones for 10 years. Probably about that, though, because I think, maybe 12 years. I have no idea. Mystery Bard would know that better than me. And at some point, we started consuming most of our streaming music on our smartphones. This is a music-based thing. Before we had smartphones, we had music players, and those are the generation of music players, obviously, this is pretty long, but the portability of music players is a little bit shorter, but still fairly long across my lifetime. But at some point, I don't know if it was in, I guess it probably was in the aughts, there came a time where people said, oh, well, digital music was a thing, and then how do you consume digital music? For me, it was an MD mini disc player, which actually was really convenient, and it had unlimited memory, as much memory as you had mini discs. But there was also digital hard drive-based music players, and the iPod was kind of the biggest one. And it was a precursor to the iPod Mini and iPod Micro and the iPod, and there was also other ones like Zune and I think iRiver. I don't know. I guess, the first one I saw was in, it might have been in the 2000. I remember being in my now brother-in-law's car before he was married to my sister, and he had one. It was about the size of a portable CD player at that time. So this was a few generations before I had one. But eventually I had an iPod, whatever you call that thing, an iPod. I don't know if it was the second or third or fourth generation. It had the touch wheel, not the click wheel. And started listening to music on that. And I had that for a while. And eventually I started listening to podcasts on that, or maybe I was already listening to podcasts, but anyway, at some point, so one of the things about the iPod, one thing you need to know about me is once I realized you could put all this music on there, I said, I would go over, especially if I was staying at someone's house for a weekend or something, they'd say, what music you got on your computer? Can I put it on my iPod? Or my siblings, I'd say, hey, what music do you have on your computer? Can I put it on my iPod? And they'd say, sure, go ahead. And so eventually I had a lot of random stuff on my iPod, just not my own music, but music that was owned by people I knew. And one of my favorite things to do was to just shuffle the music, because then it would lead me on a journey of, it would just be fun. Now, sometimes you'd get into that radio changing mode where you wouldn't accept what the music was. But if you could be, it was a very meditative thing almost to say, okay, let's just listen. I don't know what this song is, or I don't know whose song was this out of all the people I got music from. It was a different time back then. It was the platter age, they called it. This was a platter hard drive, not a solid state hard drive even. Now, at some point, and now some of this is a leap of belief systems for me. So some of this may be easily disproved by facts or interpretation of facts, but this shuffle, I believe, had a learning algorithm that was based, I don't want to use the term rudimentary, because it probably wasn't rudimentary, but compared to now, probably you'd say, an algorithm today would say, well, that's not a very nice way to put it. You say, well, I don't mean it. You're interpreting rudimentary in a non-nice way. I mean it as a stage in the development of music-based shuffling algorithms based on preference. And I'd say, okay, that's a very interesting way to explain it. But so whatever this algorithm was, that would say, oh, if you it would start to note what songs got played, like even when you, this was always watching because it was built into the device. This wasn't like a connected device. You had to plug it in to put music on it. But it was always keeping track of like what songs you listen to, even outside of shuffle. And for some reason, when you were shuffling, it would increase the, like, whatever the random, it was only slightly random. Then it was like, well, you like these songs, so I'm going to play these more often. And then, of course, that became more and more true for the songs you played to come up during shuffle. And now, separately, at some point, I had a bunch of Carole King music on my iPad, or my iPod. And, like, I enjoy Carole King music. While I wouldn't consider myself, I mean, before this, I wouldn't consider, like, now I have a totally, you know, near spiritual relationship with a human being named Carole King. But, you know, these things get complicated. You know, I myself am a human being. But so, at some point, like, all I can say is that, somehow, and I use this term spiritually, or you could say magically, the power of Carole King permeated my iPod shuffle algorithm in a way that we could only say is beyond my understanding, which even basic algorithms are beyond my understanding, but this is in a much more important way. And what that meant is that every few songs, not every few songs, I'd say within, if 100 songs, like in 100 songs, there was 100% chance of one of those being a Carole King song. And it's probably less than that because they say, well, how long does it take to listen to 100 songs? And this was, I was doing a lot of walking, a lot of driving over the periods I had this iPod. So I'd say, okay, like, now here's how powerful that is. At some point I had to recreate this iPod on it, like, because its platters slowly, its ability to play music slowly faded away. Luckily I had duplicated it, and this is still, the power of this iPod still holds true in other forms. And I guess that it, isn't that what ethereal is, or ether? I don't know. But so Carole King's power, or the power I believe Carole King to have, permeated this iPod. And then I started to actually take a step back and say, okay, why, this is interesting that these Carole, maybe it's every 50 songs, I don't know, like once a week. So you say 10 songs, yeah, probably every 50 songs, a song would come up by her. And I just said, well, that's like, you know, at first I just had, I said, well, like, what's up with that? Now, you could say this is my own obliviousness, my own, caught up in my own thoughts. So those are things I'm good at. I never noticed it with any other music or group or artists. So that's also, like you said, that may disprove any doubts that you have, but also may disprove that I'm not paying attention. I'm barely ever paying attention because, you know, I'm thinking about past, present, and future. But so at some point, though, I came to believe, well, what if Carole King, and I can remember the place I was where I was, like, I came to this conclusion. I was walking to my job when I was a librarian, at a couple places, like a couple youth locations or young adult locations. And I remember walking, I would walk there from BART. It was a long walk, but I spent a lot of time listening to podcasts. I'm pretty sure this is when it happened. It could be like this is just when I was thinking about it, or this is when I accepted the power of it. And I realized that what if the power of Carole King is in my podcast at all times, not just when her songs are playing. And that meant that at times in my life, when I needed an adventure or I need guidance, I've been able to turn to the shuffling powers that live within my now my digital replication, which may not function for much longer. That's another reason why I'm recording this episode, is I'm wondering what will happen because I have to transition. And I say, well, is this going to be is this going to transition or not to another platform? Because this platform is not going to exist much longer. And I only have this this version of it. I don't know that I may have it. I think I do have it somewhere. But who knows? Those are also platter-based hard drives. But so when I need an adventure or when I need guidance, it's particularly when the stakes are, you know, world-level stakes or personal stakes. And I remember, which is also like once every 18 months or something, I turn to Carole King for help. This situation, I just thought of like in the intro, I said, okay, what if what if we are looking, what if I call up the mall, or office, corporate office and say, hey, what about, this Creaky Dulcet collection? Cause they did try to do the Creaky Dulcet door collection and then the Creaky Dulcet Dior collection by Dior, and neither one of those. So let's try it. So here I am with my advisor, the algorithmic spiritual incarnation of the power of Carole King and I. And I'm going to call up the old imagination phone. Hi, this is Scooter. I'm calling... for your boss, is she in? Okay. Scooter who? Not the Scooter. Not the Scooter from Muppets. Not a Scooter, that goes zoom, zoom, zoom. So not the Scooter from Muppets. Obviously, I'm here to, maybe you could help me. Is this one of the things where you're screening, but you're really, anyway, so let me, now I got maybe gatekeeper, that's what it's called, where you're a gatekeeper, but really, you're on the other side of the gate, did you, Wizard of Oz, I read the book, actually, so I know this is the answer to this, but what if the Wizard of Oz was the gatekeeper, that thing that said, hi? But I know I read the book, and that turns out not to be the case, I don't think. Also, in the movie, in the book, they had to wear these emerald glasses everywhere. I don't know if they didn't have to do that in the movie, though. Kind of like rose-colored glasses. I don't know if that was a subtextual. I think it was a subtextual message. Or maybe it wasn't even, maybe only I. But so, why am I calling? Great question. And hopefully you're sitting down. So I was wondering, I was thinking about starting, I never dreamed of this. I just thought it was a good idea the other day that maybe I could have, does your mall, okay. So you're not a mall. Oh, I know you're the person answering the phone, to see if I can cut the mustard or whatever. I don't know what that means either, because it does seem ridiculous, a ridiculous phrase, cut the mustard. Is that even a phrase? Because they say, what in the heck? Maybe it's but mustard seeds, but wouldn't you grind the mustard in that case? Stone ground mustard, that's a thing. I can't imagine anybody cutting the mustard. I mean, I've heard of the cutting the other stuff. Am I right? Sorry, that was, okay. So, here's the thing. Maybe with anyone you work with, once upon a time, this is strange. I would say, is a mall a representation of niches or is it mass market version? It's not quite niche, each store in a mall. But it is kind of, right? Or it's specific items. But this store that I'm thinking of, And this rally only had its, like, I don't know what the run of these kind of stores was and if they're still even around, because to be honest, I haven't been doing my part. I have been doing my part staying home. You know, that's why you're answering from home. Of course. Like, but even before it was time to stay home, before that, I didn't I'll be honest, I'm trying to think of the last time. Oh, no, I know when I went to a mall before it was time to stay home. I went to one after I dropped my brother off at the airport in Florida. When I was driving back to my parents, I went to a mall to try to record an episode for Patreon. But there was too much copyrighted music playing at the mall. So I said, I can't record an episode because of the copyrighted music. So that was a bit of a bummer. That was a bit of a bummer, I guess is what I was saying. I did eat lunch there, but I didn't do any, I don't know if I did anything else. I guess I just left. I ate lunch, did I walk the whole mall? I don't even know if I walked the whole mall. I mean, so I'd be remiss if I wasn't honest with you that I'm not the best, before that, oh boy. Yeah, that was probably in January or early February. Oh, somewhere in somewhere in near where my parents are. No, but not near, actually. Then I got lost. Then I tried to drive back to their house without the GPS and just guess at what exit they were off of. And I actually guessed my way back there, but I got off the wrong exit. I think I talked about that in another podcast. I said, I'll just find the way. It'll be okay. Anyway, what was my point? When was the other time? I don't know when I went before that. But I remember a time when the mall had like a memory store, which really wasn't a memory. Well, there's like always one or two card stores, right? Or a gift shop. It wasn't a gift shop. Sometimes there was the card store run by one of the card companies, or maybe they both had their own stores, and they also sold, they probably said, well, cards are only $4. And I don't know if the cards were in the supermarkets at this time. I would presume they were. But you said, well, you can't, obviously, if you're running the mall, you said, well, you can't pay, you got to sell more than cards, because you're not going to sell that many cards. So then, they started selling stuff like wind chimes with ceramic owls on them, candles, bookends. I don't know where else you'd buy, a bookend. And then collectibles type stuff, right? Treasures, some people would call them. I think there was was there ever a Hummel figurine store only at the mall, or is this just my imagination? But ceramic based items, paper product. Well, there was usually a paper store too. This is in the 90s, I'm thinking. Oh, why do I bring that up? Well, so I was thinking if there was a store like that, that wasn't they say, well, this is our company. We only sell our company's products. Maybe I could work with them. I was thinking about coming up with the Creaky Dulcet collection, the Creaky Dulcet collection, or Creaky Dulcet treasures, or Creaky Dulcet memories. Well, what's the Creaky Dulcet? Well, I could tell you about the Creaky Dulcet collection, and maybe that would help. So the store, Creaky Dulcet memories. The first one, I'm here. Also, I just want to fully disclose, I'm here with a spiritual based algorithm that I believe is a spiritual based algorithm, or an algorithm beyond my understanding, based on the music of Carole King, maybe influenced by her. In a way that's beyond my understanding. Okay, good. You're still listening. Great. So the first thing I have to pitch is called Pretty Paper. And you say, Pretty Paper. What does Pretty Paper mean to everyone? Well, something different to everyone, but to me, into the Creaky Dulcet collection, it would be paper that is thick, paper that has a texture to it. You know, like the paper that kind of feels like it's made of not quite papyrus, though. One, that would be another thing. We could have papyrus. Oh, that was one of the stores that was called that. The paper store was called Papyrus. Did they? Here's a serious question. Do they sell actual papyrus at Papyrus? Because if they don't, even if they do, I think people would want to buy papyrus. Also, papyrus, I like saying that. I didn't realize it was, is it two P's like that? Papyrus, right? If you have a stack of papyrus paper, is it papyri? Like you say, well, here's, you say, well, it's more than one papyrus. Is it a papyri? You don't know. Well, that's like, so that would be the first item in the Creaky Dulcet collection is pretty paper. And I'm not saying that it's papyrus, but or if it's recycled. But you know that paper, it's got that feel. It looks like it even has strings or something in there. It's not perfect, and each piece has its own personality. And it is one of those papers that, like, drinks ink. You say, what is this? How does this paper do with ink? I say, oh, it drinks it up. Do you have, you better have, a juicy pen ready to go. Because when that, and it feels, oh boy, like sometimes you just want to touch the pen to this paper to watch it and watch the ink spread out. And you can even see it like forming like a crystalline entity on the paper. And you'd say to your pen, oh boy, does she want to move? And that would be the name of our pen collection. Creaky Dulcet pen collection. And we'd say that because for left, like a couple reasons with our pen. Let me go with the more fluid thoughts of the fluid pen moving. Oh, this pen, it could work with any paper, but when it hits that pretty paper, it really it wants to move, because obviously you want to keep it moving, because otherwise it'll keep it, you'll get a hole in the paper because it'll drink too much ink up. But maybe ours is, you say, is it cardstock? Not quite. It's good for folding. It's threefold for a letter, but only one or two page letter. Though we have pretty paper thin, which is a thinner paper, kind of like those papers you see people get in the journals of. You say, oh, this is like paper thin paper. And you say, you're kidding me, right? And you say, well, I don't know how else to describe. Our other paper was like paper, but not, it was paper thin technically. But oh boy, this is like nearly translucent pretty paper. We call it pretty paper thin. That, if you're going to write longer letters, you want to use that, because you put more in one envelope at, you know, the regular stamp rate. But this pen we sell as part of the Creaky Dulcet collection. She wants to move because that's what pens are made to do. Just like Chris would say, that's what, I was born to do, to warm it up. This pen was born to move. Another reason it was born to move is because we actually designed it to stop leaking out ink, because for left-handers, one. Also, could we get do you have a team of scientists like in the basement of the mall or anything? I know this is a fantasy thinking about Leftorium and Ned Flanders and all that, but I was just thinking that, just to solve the whole ink and pencil thing for left-handers, that never has gotten figured out, really. I mean, there's been attempts, but there's never been something that they say, you got to try this. This is it. Your problems are solved, especially when it comes to pencils or erasable ink or wet ink. Now, this one, we do have it, because the pen has to move, and especially the pretty paper drinks it up, and holds it. That's another part of the design of the pretty paper I didn't mention. Oh, you want to stop me? Okay. What was your, what does either one of those have to do with Creaky Dulcet? I don't know, actually, because Carole King's been, get talent, like, let me ask, oh, Louise, that's right, holy Bonnie Raitt, Louise, is, like, why is it creaky dulcet, the pretty paper or the pen that wants to move? Oh, yeah, let me bring in Louise. She's our, brand ambassador. Well, hello, this is Louise from Creaky Dulcet Collection, also previously known of Creaky Dulcet Doors by Dior and the Creaky Dulcet Dior by Christina Dior. What can I help you with? You're the gatekeeper. Hello. Well, we're really excited to tell you about the Creaky Dulcet Collection, where our brand, one of our brand, I almost accidentally punned myself saying a hallmark of our brand, and Scooter already said papyrus, golly gee. Next thing you know, I'll be down at Walden Pond with a Walden book, you know, just enjoying it. And did you know this is, Scooter never wanted to, once he found out, there was a bookstore called Brennatano's or something once upon a time, and they offered free gift wrapping at their store. So Scooter bought every present as long as that store existed at that store. And that saved him from having to wrap any gifts, which he's not super skilled at, which is what I want to tell you about is the paper I've designed for wrapping gifts. It's called Louise. No, I'm just kidding. So what is the Creaky Dulcet Collection and why would you be interested in it? That's what you may be saying to us and our team here. And I think now this may be another store name of treasured moments. This is like a treasured moment in reality. Now, Scooter didn't do a good job of explaining it, so I will try to. And he opened it with a creaky dulcet floor. So as a gatekeeper, I want you to close your eyes and think of the your favorite creaky dulcet floor moment. But I'll describe two for you. One is a mother, and it's late in the evening, and she's just she lives there by herself. Her little ones have gone on to start their lives, and it's evening, and she's just finishing her tea and cleaning out her teacup in the kitchen sink when she remembers she hasn't checked the mail yet today. And she, finishes washing her tea, dries her hands, you know, before checking the mail completely, turns down the kitchen lights, and steps out of the kitchen, and she has a door with a mail slot, and heads to the door. She was so caught up in the day, she didn't check the mail till this evening. And she sees some mail on the floor. She sees something that looks like a letter, a handwritten letter there among the stack of whatever those are called, with the little windows, cellophane window mail and junk mail. And she reaches down and she picks up those things, and her heart kind of leaps a little bit with joy and anticipation. But there's two cellophane-based envelopes first, and she puts those to the side, and then she turns as she's moving these business-based correspondence to the back of the pile, and her foot steps down, and the floor creaks. The floor creaks at the exact moment her thumb touches from our pretty paper collection, the pretty paper envelope collection. And her thumb is on that, oh boy, she can feel the craftsmanship and love that went into the pretty paper, but more she knows of that handwriting. Oh, that handwriting is from her daughter. No, does that, she can see the love in the lines that says, Mom, address, dot, 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 address, town, state and country, province or region. And then in the top left, she sees that there's a thumbprint, made a thumbprint of lipstick, which she finds interesting. And then either on top of the thumbprint or behind it, she can't tell, is loving daughter, address, province, town, state, country, wherever. And she smiles because at the exact same time she's processing things in the present, she's remembering sitting there with tea when her daughter would try to come in. When she was in college, you know, she'd been out late with her friends, visiting with them, or she was home at the holidays in her 20s, catching up with friends, and that one part of the door could always squeak. She could hear it even in her sleep from back from high school. But now it wasn't so much a confirmation that your kid was out past, because your kid was an adult now. It was that they were home under your roof with you for a special time that you got to share with them again. And then on top of that, she gets to enjoy the heartfelt letter sent from her daughter. And that is the essence of the creaky. Do you understand now what's creaky about the Creaky Dulcet collection? Okay, well, you want me to go on? Okay, well, I'm going to put some sugar on this next one. You'd rather talk to me than Scooter? Well, okay then. Well, this next one, this one is called, because this is another thing we've thought about, is that from our memories, as we've only done memory-based and feeling-based research and assumption-based research. Two out of three of those are effective, and then the third one, you know, makes a rear out of all of us. One thing Scooter said to us is that snow globes, he said it just like people say it in the movies, and he lets it sit there, snow globes. But because we were all there in our minds, he said, think about a creaky, dulcet snow globe. And this was one of our brainstorming sessions. This is how it goes, working within it. You know, it's so we all said, what is a creaky dulcet snow globe? What would that be? And then we had a long time just to sit. We're not allowed to write or anything. And just process it, and you take some getting used to. And then we do some elaboration, open question time. And someone said, "Well, do snow globes have to be? How related are they to the holiday season?" And Scooter said, "I don't know. I'd say 60% related." But I, you know, factually or market wise, I got no idea. Maybe 70 or 80% in a regular store. But what if we go 60%? And everyone nodded, knowing they barely understood, you know, Scooter is, but also would try to. And then we slowly reached the idea of, well, what would it, would a creaky dulcet, there's a lot of things you could do. But what, and then we thought about, well, what if a snow, like, what would a non-holiday snow globe be like? that was appealing. And we thought about, well, what else is a globe? And we thought about fortune tellers. And, you know, putting sugar on a fortune, like, so you say, wait a second. So this is a snow globe. And then we said, well, some fortune tellers of any kind would use creaky dulcet tones in fortune telling. They're not 100% intertwined, but they are. And we said, okay, so there's a fortune teller within the snow globe. But the snow globe is also a thing. And then we said, okay. And then someone said, you know, I think there's like a simple thing, because you always turn the snow globe over and shake it. And then you turn it back over. And we knew there was like a simple sound effect that would make a creaky dulcet sound, like a creaky dulcet sigh. It's a very simple non-electronic device, a sound effect device. You've seen it in children's toys or anything. It just sounds like a breathing in creaky dulcet sigh. And pretty cool. And we said, okay, yeah, that would be the creaky dulcet. And that would be soothing. And it would actually give an extra thing. It would also, within the store, it would bring attention. And we said, okay, well, the snow, you know, should we use glitter? Should we use some sort of soapy cosmic water? And then they said, okay, well, and then Scooter said, what about this? There's also very similar to a snow globe, also very similar to a fortune teller, is the magic eight ball. And Scooter said, while the team is working on the prototypes, what if either on the fortune tellers, like in the table or in the globe or in something else, is also a magic eight ball built in? Maybe just the table, maybe the table within the snow globe that the fortune tellers are looking down on is a magic eight, like, is like the window of a magic eight ball. And we said, holy cow. And this is when I say, oh boy, this is why I work here. Because you say, okay, so we're going to take a snow globe. We're going to put a sound effect in it. Not Scooter's idea, but our team's idea. That has like a somewhat comforting, but somewhat different sound. And then we're going to have a fortune teller, but then we're also going to have a magic eight ball feature in there. And then we're going to have an effect, whether it's snow, glitter, or swirls, or something else. And then, of course, like everybody on the team at the same time raised their hands, and Scooter said, maybe, he said, yes, I know what you're thinking, because we all are a part of a team. Maybe we can do another snow globe that's a Tesla coil or one of those plasma globes, but not this one. That might be too much. And also maybe do a plasma globe that also has a magic eight ball. So we agreed on that. So that's another thing you would find at the Creaky Dulcet collection. Oh, you want me to do the marketing thing for the fortune teller snow globe? Okay, well, there you are, is that mother. And there you are. You're a different parent. Yeah, you're just a parent. You're in a different spot. And maybe you're in a smaller apartment that you've moved to. You've downsized, but again, you're thinking, and it's your this holiday. You said, "Well, I'm going to stay put this holiday, just me, and you know, I'll use the devices to contact everybody I care about and love." But this one, I'm just doing it for me. I'm taking it. It's going to be low. It's going to be chill. I've decided this year that I'm going to celebrate it for myself and in my own way. and I'm choosing to do this. Yeah, maybe there's a part of me that'll feel a little frowny. But most of me wants to do this for a break and to have some time to myself, to reflect on what this year meant to me and what everyone in this year meant to me. And you just happen to correspond with, oh, well, you're going there, you're going on a vacation, and that doesn't appeal to me. Or, oh, you're going to spend time with your other parts, your extended family. I understand, and I'm not saying this in a passive way. I actively understand, and that is fine. And so there you are. Getting ready, you got the fireplace effects on the TV, you've got some warm nog and cocoa mixed together, nutmeg on the surface, and you're just relaxing there. And then you hear the creaky door of your cat door that goes out back to where out in the on your patio where the litter box is, and you smile because Snuffles is coming in, and you hear the bell you put around Snuffles' collar jingling, jangling. Then Snuffles goes under the tree and paws at the gift that you got for Snuffles. Like, hey, when are we going to be able to open it? And you see that it's a rounded gift. And it's a, you know, it's a toy for Snuffles to play with. One of those balls that this one, you know, has a random, like this has a randomizing algorithm built in it to be fun for the cat to play with Snuffles. But next to it is also a rounded gift. It has a base, but it's a rounded gift, too. And you think about it, and they say, okay, let's so you open that, and I'll open this, Snuffles. Snuffles, you say, okay, I'll open it for you. And then at first, Snuffles is so enamored with the paper that Snuffles has a battle with the paper and chases the paper around. And then you go to open your gift, and at the same time, Snuffles decides, well, I'm so excited, I got to go out and visit the litter box again. And the creaky, dulcet cat door swings. And your heart fills with the memories of time you spent with Snuffles and some of your children. And you say, wait a second, that other place we lived had a creaky, dulcet cat door. And we used to always laugh when we say, oh, there goes Snuffles. At least Snuffles knows when Snuffles gets so excited that Snuffles has to use the litter box. You can remember a holiday. A moment just like this one, but different. That's felt special, but this one feels special in a different way. And then you go to lift up that gift, and you feel it has some weight to it because it's, a snow globe. And you see the card on it. It says, missing you and thinking of you and wondering when we'll see you in the future. Do you know? ? And you say, wait a second, is that some sort of related to the gift? And you rip open the thing. Also, you notice that because your children are pretty witty, also taped to the bottom of the fortune teller snow globe eight ball thing is a invitation to a future event with your family. That's optional, but that you could take them up on it, 6 months from now. And then you turn it over again, and it makes that sound, and Snuffles comes in with a look of, and then Snuffles starts playing with Snuffles' ball. And you look at the beautiful effects we added to make the snow globe so much more. But you have, what's ironic is that you're looking at a snow globe not definitely designed for the holidays. And you're remembering that, strangely enough, that year you'd given everyone different types of, like these were magic eight balls with goofs, like parody magic eight balls made for children, like of the rebellious teenage, saying, you know, better watch your step, eat your vegetables. So a tear forms in your eye, a tear of joy and love, and it rolls down your cheek. And this is before you even realize, as you start to shake the globe, and it gets misty and feels magical, and it kind of makes that creaky dulcet sound effect, but less because it's not totally, it just makes a little creak, that in the table of the fortune teller is a magic eight ball, a thingamajig, and it comes up on there and it says, you are loved, remember that. And you, and then you put it down and you shut off the TV and you start to get ready for bed, and eventually you snuggle in your bed so comfortable, with visions of just these creaky few items of the Creaky Dulcet collection dancing in your head. So what did you think of the pitch? Oh, you're asleep. Okay. Well, that's good. That means that the Creaky Dulcet collection is still in development as you get comfortable and start to drift away. And there's plenty more if you need it. The Creaky Dulcet collection is always here on demand, too. And you could also think of your own Creaky Dulcet moments, or make up and imagine your own with the power that I perceive to be broadcast by Carole King. The possibilities are endless. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who supports the show on Patreon. Recently, Janessa, Elon, and Diana, thanks, good night. Eleanor, Kate, and Terry, thanks, good night. Bo, Esther, and Dom, thanks, good night. Samantha, Allison, and Reagan, thanks, good night. Lori, Samantha, and David, thank you, and good night. Cassie, Isabel, and Callie, thank you, good night. Sarah, Elizabeth, and Kate, thank you, and good night. A, John, and Nicholas, thanks, and good night. David, Dion, and Aaron, thanks, and good night. Chris, Melanie, and Isaac, thank you, and good night. James, Chantel, and Ariel, thank you, and good night. Heather, Amanda, and Jennifer, thank you, good night. Allison, Cameron, and Chelsea, thank you, good night. Matthew, Serenity, and Debbie, thank you, good night. Mike, Michael, and Joyce, thanks, good night. And Chris and Crystal, thank you, good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon. Sleep with Me is able to be here twice a week for free because of people that support the show on Patreon, people that support the sponsors. I appreciate that. You can also help the podcast for free by just spreading the word and letting people know about it. I really appreciate that because that helps keep the show going. And here's something I want you to know about. Thanks. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with, the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine has a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.